But the moment I was able to put something like long and dangly in my ear, and I'm like, ah, gender.
Rusty Quill presents Enthusiasm. Hello, friends and fans, and welcome to Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about a few of our favourite things. I am your host, Helen Gould, one of the best Rusty Quillers, and today we're talking about style. And I am bedazzled to be joined by Annie, Marissa, Nathan, and Sasha. As always, we shall introduce ourselves alphabetically. So, Annie, what are your pronouns and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Annie Fitch. I'm an audio editor at Rusty Quill. Sorry, I use she, her pronouns. I'm doing this out of order. I use she, her pronouns. I'm an audio editor at Rusty Quill. I'm the voice of Actrax on Stella Firma and a Twitch streamer, among other things.
Don't worry about doing it in a correct order. This is a loosey-goosey show. We can all be as relaxed as we like. Marissa, what are your pronouns and what do you do?
Yeah, my name's Marissa. My pronouns are she, her. I'm also an audio editor at Rusty Quill, and I also own a production company called Hemlock Creek Productions.
Wonderful. Nathan, what are your pronouns and what do you do?
Hi, hello. I use he, they pronouns, and I am your androgynous android game show host from the future, Nathan Blades, tabletop RPG, streamer, designer, voice actor, and general internet ne'er-do-well. Hello.
I do love your introductions. Like, oof.
I still say them wrong occasionally, even though I do them every time.
I'm lucky enough to have written mine down beforehand, so that's why I never get mine wrong. And Sasha, what are your pronouns and what do you do?
Hello, I'm Sasha. My pronouns are she, he, and they. And I am a performing monkey with a typewriter. So I'm a writer, a games designer, and a voice artist, and just a regular around these parts.
My mood has rocketed up. I don't know if I'm ever coming down again. Okay, so we have some questions to prompt our conversation. We're going to start with a very broad one, which is, what does style mean to you? If no one wants to go first, I will say that to me, style means a lot of things, but mostly is how I show who I am, how I'm feeling, and it is a way to make myself feel good.
Yeah, that's the long and the short of it, really. And you got to the essence of that real quick.
Oh, no. Show's over. Discussion ends.
Job done, then.
But no. I definitely agree with the, it's the way of getting my vibe across to be understood by others in the most efficient yet ostentatious way possible.
Does anyone else want to talk about what style means to you as like a personal thing?
Yes, I do. Because I really loved what you were both saying about style being like how you present and express yourself to the world. And for me, that is that is it. That is a big part of it. But there's also an element of, it's also been how I've figured out who I am. It's also been how I've tried on different identities and figured out where I feel most comfortable. And I think especially like when I was working out that I was non-binary, because it took me a very long time to realize, when I was working out that I was non-binary, the key moment that really stuck for me and flipped something in me was when I tried on a different style of clothes that I had used to wear when I was a kid and then had kind of like shoved aside in my teenage years and my early 20s, and then putting those clothes on, trying on that identity again and just feeling something release.
Yeah. I think that's very relatable.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't mean to go so heavy so early.
Absolutely going to talk about style and gender over the course of this, because I also have similar.
We are
going to
talk a lot
say.
About gender, because I don't think any of us are cis on this call. Also, Sasha, I think you were one of the first people I went to when I was trying to figure out whether I was non-binary or gender fluid or something. And I think I sent you my first attempt in which I'm wearing this little beanie hat and yes. like a red checked shirt and these massive baggy jeans. And like, that's so different to how I dress mask now.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. that is just like a teenager.
I started dressing like how I did as a kid. You know, and yeah. I looked like some 90s Nickelodeon teen.
I looked like I was in Ed and Eddie.
But it was so important for me to try on that identity in that way and like reconnect to a part of myself that I thought I had kind of lost. You know, like how everybody says smells are so linked to memory, like when you smell something from your childhood, you're taken back there immediately. Yeah, like for me, it's not smells, it's clothes.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a really fair point, Sasha, because I had a very similar experience when coming out as non-binary. When I was younger, I definitely used to be very like, oh, fashion is like a girly thing and I'm a tomboy, so I don't care about fashion. And I found that like through exploration of different styles, because I'd say my style is very between like a 50s housewife and like biker gang. But you know, I feel like actually I dress more, you know, in terms of dresses, nail polish, things like that, than I did back when I thought I was cis, because I just feel more comfortable in my identity, which is really interesting.
Yeah, because you don't you no longer feel forced to do those things.
Yeah, when it was like, oh, you should wear a dress because you're a girl, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. But now I have, like, you know, 40 dresses and I'm very picky about them.
Now you gotta. I would just be wearing a dress for no reason.
Yes, exactly.
Because the sheer range of like femme fit clothing in terms of the cuts and styles for that are so broad.
Oh, yeah.
It would have to be the right type of fit for anybody, especially if you're somebody like me who has a mask body. A lot of cuts of dresses don't work properly on my frame, so I have to kind of make sure that I find ones that fit correctly. Especially if you're a human noodle, 6'4".
You're 6'4"?
There are certain cuts of dress. Yeah, I'm 6'4", probably even taller with the hair. But yeah. Having this number is a sleeveless turtleneck.
Oh, fantastic.
That I'm rocking today.
Very nice.
I adore it. But it is clearly for tall, skinny people. So I'm like, okay, good. Yes, this one fits me. Good. But there are so many others that look really pretty and then on me look like I'm doing bad drag when I just want to kind of look effortlessly cool, right? There's that balance.
I have the opposite problem where I go to menswear departments and I'm like, oh, this is nice and this is nice and this is nice. But actually, I have to look for the things that are cut for a hobbit.
Yes.
There are actually very few.
I refuse to look in menswear for stuff that I like because I can't be bothered learning a whole new sizing system.
I feel that. The first time I bought a suit, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I was in a store called The Modern Man. And I was like, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Suits on the one hand, I can say, suits were one of the things that actually was interesting to come to terms with my like gender identity, because when I transitioned, I started I had a really slow and odd and gradual like transition in pieces where I came out to different groups at a time, and then when I would dress femme, I always felt like I had such limited opportunities to do it because I was only out to certain people, that I would try to go all the way to like a dress thing, and then when I dressed mask, if I had to be fancy, I would be in a suit. But I've always felt up until very recently like the two couldn't cross, and so like
Oh, Annie, let me tell you the good news about glittery suits.
Yeah. Well, I wear like now, like only up recently, I've started getting really into wearing like suits just like in like a daily way. Like I wear blazers nearly every day now because I just love a good jacket. I always have. But for some reason, there was that disconnect when I was first transitioning. And then now it's like I used to only wear like, I would only wear a nice like suit jacket or blazer if it was like a fancy occasion, and I would always want like to have a tailored one, so I would have like one jacket that I could wear to any of these things, and that was all. And now I've just got like, I've got three blazers that I cycle through pretty much all week, and like I've got like, I switched from wearing a lot of jeans to a lot of like slacks and stuff. And like, once you, it's funny how once you like, you know, again, from the like the sort of trans perspective on this, it's like once you transition and you feel like, okay, now that I'm over wherever this other place is, there's like this specific thing that I have to do. And then once you've been there for a minute, you're like, nah, let's just like widen that back out a little bit. Let's push that back over here. Cause I like this still, you know?
Oh, very relatable. I mean, one of the other questions I wanted to ask was, how did you develop your own sense of style? But it sounds like kind of meshing that into this section as well.
It's interesting because when I was younger, I my dad is, and I think he still is, a reasonably trendy guy. Orally, he had a really well formulated sense of style and liked clothes and fashion. Used to chop at Diesel a lot before they kind of like changed their general like look at outlook in terms of how they styled their clothes. Anyway, so I was basically trained to dress like him a lot. So I would basically wear what he was wearing in a slightly different size. We were both pretty tall, but you know, it meant for a lot of the time, a lot of the clothes that I had were essentially clothes that he wasn't wearing anymore. And I was kind of getting them secondhand from him. And that worked for a decent period of time while I was a teenager and so on. But there was a point, like, you know, when you kind of hit university-ish, where it's like, oh, I can now wear whatever I want because I'm not going clothes shopping with my dad as, like, a casual family activity kind of thing. So I can kind of wear whatever. It was all, none of it was especially adventurous, I don't think. It was only, you know, I think it was definitely after university that I was much more experimental in the kind of clothes that I wore. But you know, we are quite literally a different person every 7 years because of the way that our cells decay and are reborn. In a full Ship of Theseus philosophical thing, but it does mean that you know that there's no reason why you have to kind of be the same style of person permanently across one's lifespan, or that you find one and settle into it permanently and that's your style forever, because you just become a different person so frequently that comes with also a change in style. Because I was very urban dandy a lot when I was like university-ish, wearing the kind of like, oh, I'm gonna wear like the kind of formal wear, but I'm also wearing high top sneakers, that kind of thing. And I still love that look. I still love that look. A lot of that stuff is really expensive.
I think that's what I'm trying to aim for these days as well. I've got this velvet blazer on right now, and a shirt, and then these leather look jeans and Doc Martens.
Very nice.
Sick.
Nice.
And it's got to come with the, if you can manage getting the nice hat, like Black Americans know how to get a nice hat. I don't know where I could get a nice hat here. My head be huge.
My head is too big. My head is too big. No hat will suit me unless it's a beanie.
You know, I'm sure that there are hats for our head sizes out there, but I would have to like go overseas, go on like an uncharted Indiana Jones looking journey across the globe to go find something that fits this globe that the rest of my body is attached to. But yeah, these days it's much more witchy, because I, as a kid, didn't know that black people could be goths, because I never saw one. So now I get to live out my teenage goth phase every day. I'm sad that we don't have a Hot Topic, because I would be all over that as an adult. Shameful, but I would find some way to incorporate it. This is from Killstar, actually, I think, which is, I guess, a Hot Topic for fashion adults. So I guess I'm still living that. So yeah. We're mostly like librarian goth these days, I think. Oh no, there's a term for that. Dark academia.
Dark academia.
I was going to get onto that, because that's the road I've been heading down with the sort of oh yes. I had a friend when I first started wearing this like the suits daily look that I've been doing. I had a friend who I hung out with for the first time since I got into it, who told me that I looked like the third year professor that everyone in the class of any gender has a crush on, but nobody wants to talk about it, and like give me this whole like description of the thing, and I was like, that's the aesthetic right there, that's except the with more tattoos. That's all I want.
Marissa, Sasha, any thoughts on how you developed your own sense of style other than what we've already said?
I think mine was kind of like a very like abrupt development, because I went for such a long time of just thinking that like maybe other than like earrings just being like, oh, fashion's not for me, blah blah blah, but when I went through university and started coming out both as you know, pansexual and as non-binary, I kind of went through like a very dramatic like going from jeans and graphic tees to cutting off all my hair and buying like a bunch of things at secondhand stores. And yeah. I'll be honest that a lot of it was pretty bad off the top, but it was really fun to get to actually play around and develop that sense, especially as an adult where you can buy what you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not at the cutting off all my hair stage now, because I'm currently in the growing my hair very long stage with these locks. But when they are too long and I am bored of them, I will shave my head.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I've always wanted to.
Shaving my head was so fun.
Yeah, it was scary at first, because you're like, what if I don't look good? And then afterwards you're like, oh, okay, all right.
I mean, Skunk Anansi is out here just with no hair at all, looking gorgeous. So yeah, absolutely.
Any other thoughts, Sasha?
Yeah, I feel like what Nathan said about style not being a fixed thing, you know, like I feel like I am at a particular point on my style journey right now, but I am under no illusions that is going to last. Yeah, I think for me, my kind of style evolution was a little bit weird, because when I was about 11 or 12, and I was like not allowed to have gender feelings anymore, but also was starting to have a lot of gender feelings. I also watched the films Legally Blonde and Miss Congeniality.
Yes.
And those films are fantastic. They're brilliant films. I love them. and I think I kind of like watched these films and learned to admire a type of femininity that I had previously kind of just dismissed before. And so I started trying out girly things, and it was really fun. And also I feel like when I tried out all these girly things, when I put myself in these like stiff vintage dresses or, you know, big makeup or what have you, it felt like I was fooling people around me. Like for me, it's always been that like I look in the mirror and it feels like I am somehow failing at being a woman, and I can't put my finger on why. Like, that's how it felt. Or failing at being a girl, because I was about 14 at this point. And so I just, like, I basically lived 10 to 15 years, like, in drag all the time.
Yeah.
And I was really into, like, vintage 40s to 60s looks and, like, very strong silhouettes with like nipped in waists and pencil skirts or big circle skirts and little little blazers and all like high heels and all that. I absolutely loved it. And I made a lot of my own clothes, so I got very into like vintage repro patterns and things like that.
Nice.
And so I could go like as cartoony as I wanted with it. And I genuinely did have some outfits that were basically just drag. That I would wear just about the place. And it was great fun. And it wasn't me. It was a costume. But it was a way of armoring myself against what I thought people would perceive. You know? And but it was very playful, because I wasn't getting dressed to get dressed. I was creating a character. I was presenting a front. So it was a bit like costume design. And so I think now that I've kind of realized I'm non-binary and I've come out and I've kind of realized what's going on there. Yeah, now I think that my style, I'm still in a place where I'm enjoying being more low key. And for a while I kind of like shunned that, but now I'm starting to, like with the dresses thing, like I now have 4 dresses. For a while I was like, no dresses, they weren't me after all. But now it's like, no okay, they were. It's just that if I'm going to have a dress, it's got to have a stretchy waist. Yeah, now I'm kind of, I think I figured out I quite like to be femme in kind of a punky way with an edge, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I got really into weightlifting like 6 months ago.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I've been really enjoying like sleeveless bro tanks. And yes. I have developed this yes. whole look that is like muscle tees, and my arms will not be contained, and I'm ready for the gym. Which is not a look that nice. I've ever considered me before, but I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
I can relate a lot to the idea of using your style as like an armor against that. Like, but I did it in a very opposite way of that, which was like when I started to have, because even though I was like, in retrospect, very clearly having a lot of like dysphoric feelings as a teenager, I didn't identify them until I was in my like early to mid 20s. Like I was very, very late to the game of figuring out what this was. I just kind of, even if I'd had a thing that would have made me realize it, then packed it away and forgot it for 6 years or whatever. Right. Mm. And so I spent most of my life to this point dressing as like, as with no thought put into it whatsoever as possible. Like I just wore jeans and graphic tees every day for decades. You know what I mean? Mm. If I didn't have to wear something nice to go somewhere, I wouldn't, because I didn't want to have to just like engage with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I would think about it as being like, well, this is like, I dress for like comfort, and I put like, you know, like the shirts that I have, I like well enough. So that's fine. That's as far as I need to go with it. I just want to be, and then like sort of trying to now unpack all of that. Like I'm very early on in like self-discovering what my own style is, because like trying to go back and unpack all of that, like, no, I don't care about clothes at all. This doesn't, it's like, well, I very much did. I just didn't want to. So I forced myself to do nothing about
it.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. I'm thinking how much I did not... I knew this was going to be a personal topic. And now I'm like, oh, actually, this is deeply, deeply personal.
Oh, you didn't know how raw it was going to get today. I see. I understand.
Because, like, I have been lots and lots of different weights in my life as well. Mm-hmm. And that has always made my style fluctuate, because for a long time I was having to buy basically an entire new wardrobe every couple of years, either in one direction or the other. And that really affected what I thought I could wear too.
And what would just be available as well, I guess.
Yes, that too. Like I am finding now that it's a lot easier to wear what I want, because online shopping is such a big thing, way more than it was like 10 years ago. I went through a long period of like only getting stuff from eBay, but also I started working in offices and I had a very specific idea of what a person who works in an office would wear. So I actually, like, I was all skirts and dresses for a really long time, partly because they were really easy to put on. Like, I wore a dress for the first time in a long time on Halloween, and I was like, oh, I just put one thing on and it was done. And that's kind of, I remember this.
Layering, I don't know her.
Yeah, exactly. Although, like, that particular outfit, that was a dress and a crown and like a faux fur, like leopard print stole thing.
Okay, yeah.
What was the point of saying this? I think the point of me saying this was that lots of things are going to affect your style in your life, and often you don't realize that's what happened until you look back on it.
Inciting incidents.
And suddenly you open your wardrobe and you're like, oh, when did this happen? Do you know what? I think it's time to take a little break And when we come back, I want to talk about our favourite actual items of clothing and accessories and stuff, because I want to hear what we've all got.
All right.
Excellent.
Okay. All right. Back in a second. And welcome back. Okay, so now let's get into some of the nitty-gritties. Who wants to tell me what your favourite item of clothing or accessory is? I am all ears.
Ooh. Just one?
Yeah,
I didn't realise I'd have to pick one.
Okay.
Actually,
one
we can
to
do
three.
That. We can do that, because okay. I'm actually wearing some of my favourite accessories literally right now. The earring I'm currently wearing, I think, is probably one of my favorite accessories. Because just before lockdown started, we'll weave a very short tale. Going on one of the final gay brunches because pandemic was swiftly approaching, not that we knew. Mm. And a couple mimosas in, a friend messages me. It's like, I'm going to be going into town to do some fabric shopping. And also me and my friends are getting our ears pierced. Do you want in? And I'm like, yeah. I've wanted my ears pierced for ages. But it would be, I figured it would be really painful. And I'm a baby and didn't want to do it. But the idea of having a big dangly earring was like, ooh, this is the thing that I think I would really enjoy. And the entire process of that took forever for it to heal, despite me taking good care of it. But the moment I was able to put something like long and dangly in my ear, and I'm like, gender.
There's so much attached. Gender in earrings.
And this particular piece from Vitaly was recommended by like a non-binary fashion YouTuber. They dress mostly mask, but were giving a wide variety of different, because I don't wear much jewelry at all. And I was like, I would like to. I figure I'm now in this stage of my life where, having spent 2 and whatever years in the panini, where I have basically abandoned all my fashion sensibilities, I normally only wear dress shirts. At some point I made a New Year's resolution to just wear dress shirts more and t-shirts less, and I just committed without thinking about it too hard. But when you are just rolling out of bed to your computer to work and then rolling from your computer back to bed again every day for a long period of time, the process of wearing clothes that are nice feels pointless. I was just wearing t-shirts and pajama bottoms like for a year. So I was like, I'm gonna buy a nice gender item for myself. Maybe now is the time where I care about jewelry. And got this. It wasn't cheap, but I was in a position to buy a nice statement piece. I'm like, no, this feels great. I don't normally wear necklaces. This necklace is great. Yeah, we love this. This is now, I don't get to wear it super often because I'm still in the process of, hey, I'm just in a work call on Zoom. Y'all already know what I look like. You don't need to see. Although I must say, for the period of time where we were slowly going back into the office again, I'm sure other people were like in a full work from home thing. And then it was gradually to maybe working some days in the office. And then Omicron happened. Everyone's like, no, never mind. But for that period of time, I was coming in with the biggest earrings. I was dressing pretty mask, but I was kind of like, I don't need to explain he, they to you. So I'm just going to come in mask clothes, painted nails and a big earring. And y'all can do the mental maths. You can do the Sudoku. Work out what's going on.
It's like an illustrated guide to pronouns. Just
Gender is an endless Sudoku.
So yeah. Big dangly earring, favorite accessory.
Excellent.
You said in the break we were going to show some of our favorite things. So I've put some of them in a pile on the floor. And by put some of them in a pile on the floor, I went past my laundry and picked up the ones that were in the laundry and put those on the pile on the floor. And the rest, the clean ones, are still hanging up. But
transplanted.
Yeah. So the peninsula happened. And then about 9 months into the peninsula, I quit my job and went full-time self-employed. So I have no office to go to except my own house, and no colleagues that I have to like look professional for. So I was spending a lot of time wearing my pajamas and then putting a big jumper over that whenever I had to go on a call. So I got myself these. Oh, I've lost the top. Hang on. It's instead of a dress, it's these like wide legged.
I think I've seen you in those.
Those look so comfy.
This like long sleeve top. They match. They are in the softest fabric. And they've got this wide elasticated waistband, and they've got pockets, and they actually look really stylish. So that is, I've brought these as one of my favorite things because it makes me feel like I've got a look, even though it is functionally exactly the same as wearing pajamas to work.
You're giving it that Hugh Hefner energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. I'm rich.
I think having a look whilst functionally wearing pajamas is the goal.
Mm. Yeah.
Marissa, what about you?
So yeah, I've kind of been in a similar situation as Sasha, where I also work for myself and work from home. So I've swung super hard into like body mod. So I have a tattoo, I have 11 piercings, and I tend to go pretty hard with the designs in my hair because it's like a way to show off style without, you know, still being comfortable at home. Mm. And also I have a picture of my hair doesn't quite look like this anymore, but
it'll be in the show notes. It's fine.
Yes. I think I'm going to send these pictures. Mm-hmm. This is my hair when I went to a fashion show, and for the audience, it's a bunch of leaves kind of carved into my hair.
That's pretty.
To match.
Oh, you look great.
Oh, that looks amazing.
So I really like to match my hair and my drawers to my outfits, but even then when I'm still working from home, I put a lot more attention into my hair and jewelry than I do with my clothes. And I'm hoping that once Omicron calms down, A, I can finally get a haircut because it's been 2 months, but B, I want more piercings and tattoos.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So as half of you know, my laptop currently is a little bit broken. I spilled tea on it last Saturday.
I knew it was broken, but I didn't know that's why.
Yep.
I shouldn't laugh. It's dreadful that your laptop's broken.
And that is the laptop is now working fine apart from the keyboard and the video call functions, which is why I'm doing the Skype call from my phone. So I took it into London on Saturday to get it fixed. And then I was like, well, I'm in London on a Saturday, so I might as well do something. So I went to Camden Town, got a bit drunk and got a Helix piercing.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
My headphones now have to sit a little bit oddly because I don't want to be putting pressure on it. Mm-hmm. But I want to also get more piercings. I've wanted an eyebrow piercing for a really long time.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that would really suit you. You'd look so cool.
Yeah.
I know I would. My mum would have a fit. Annie, how about you?
A favorite item is almost more of like a category for me. I'm actually wearing one of them right now, which is I really enjoy very loud button-downs. Yeah. One way or another. I like button-downs with ridiculous patterns or with like... Because one of the things that I've been having a lot of fun playing with is like being semi-formal in the way of like work stuff, right? If I'm wearing a button-down and a nice pair of like slacks or whatever, no one can technically get mad at me. But if I'm doing that in a way where it's also like crazy patterns and something very expressive and not necessarily quote-unquote professional, then I'm also still, I kind of get counter that way where no one can actually do or say anything about it. So like the current shirt I'm wearing has like skulls and like spell books and like a bunch of witchy stuff all over it. And then there's like little pieces of Halloween candy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like wearing like... You know, I have this one. I've got shirts with like, I got a salmon pink shirt with T-Rexes on it. I have a navy blue shirt covered in bananas, like Warhol style bananas. I have a white high collar button down with trans colored roller skates all over it. Like, I try and find button downs with ridiculous patterns on them and then put those in something that would otherwise be kind of formal and professional. That's one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm.
You are all so cool. You've all just told me the coolest things I can imagine.
Helen, I brought fake PJs.
No, but that's still so cool.
It looks great and also very comfy.
It just looks so
comfortable. I am wearing most of my favorite things right now because this is the first time I'm going out in London not on emergency laptop repair missions since before Christmas. And I've already mentioned almost everything that I'm wearing, apart from I have a little rainbow belt on. And I have this necklace that an ex got me from Brazil. And I was surprised at how me it
was. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty.
Pretty.
Isn't it pretty? For the listener, it looks a bit like a blue Pokeball. but it's made of wood and fabric, sort of melded together. And it's a big circle thing that I like to wear. Okay. Next thing, which I know some of us are very excited to talk about, I want to talk about who, like, whose style do you admire? Like, who is, like, a style inspiration?
Ooh.
And I want to make a kind of distinction. This can be either people who you want to dress like or people whose style you admire, but you know you, like, it's not for you.
I feel you.
Oh.
Yeah, so it can be either or both categories.
Yeah. As a performer, I kind of define, I describe my aesthetic as like a Grace Jones meets Max Headroom. Nubian Queen also does not exist, is a digital construct, do not perceive me. but like, funnily enough, that like now I would probably say that my kind of like big style icon is like Dorian Electra, the like hyperpop musician, who does really elaborate non-binary drag king stuff with a very like sharp pencil moustache drawn on. Iconic, love that. But it was actually Lenny Kravitz that I think put me on the style journey
very
that
good.
I currently am now. Back in 2012 when 2012 when the first Hunger Games movie came out.
Was not
interested in the books, but was like, oh, I like going to the cinema, I'll go watch this movie of a book I've not seen. And Lenny Kravitz with a really tasteful like gold eyeliner, and I was like, men can do that, he looks so cool. And yeah, that just set me on the road to being the makeup cannon trash fire that I am today.
Anyone else want to share their fashion inspirations?
So I have one that became an inspiration relatively recently. I went to this fashion show that was specifically for like trans and GNC models. And the designer, there were two designers, but I specifically really liked the first one, who is I Am Toni Long, who basically does like deep dives into LGBT fashion. So the show that I got to see was all about like flannel and plaid. And it was so good. I have a video that I'll send in the chat, but basically, first of all, it was so exciting just to see like LGBT fashion being celebrated, but two, seeing models of all shapes, sizes, and genders was really, really cool. And that was the first time I'd seen that. So that was like, and especially because I was so nitpicky about what I wanted to wear to this event, it was the first time that I really thought about clothing in like what looks good and not what gender are you. And like being able to see like mass bodies with like, you know, almost foot tall like platform pumps and like, you know, things like that, it was so great. So I would say that's like a current new inspiration.
Oh, I love that. Annie, what about you?
A few different and none of them, I don't think, like, well, okay. The one celebrity one I can give, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention, is Lil Nas X. 100%.
So
just
good.
Superstar.
Just a masterclass in being able to embrace getting a little weird and almost confrontational with it, because it's just what you want to wear. Like, he goes, if he wants to go over the top, he goes all the way over the top and then some. And it's I really have so much respect for that, of just being like, let me just take whatever this look that I want to go with is and just make it as extreme as I can and then more extreme. Let's just see what comes out of that. I always really admire that. Other than that, it's all my fiance is a style inspiration to me. She's very like a very strong like cottagecore lesbian, like really strong sense of aesthetic in that. And it's it's adorable and amazing, and I love her. and like, and then there's also this, like, I don't know, it all comes from these very weird, like, it comes in bursts rather than as like just like I admire a whole person's style usually. Sure. So like, it's just like sometimes I'll come across like a just somebody posting a selfie on Twitter, and I'm just like, that right there, like whatever this is that you're doing, that's a style inspiration. I'm just like, save.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know. So I think that, yeah, but other than Lil Nas X, I don't know that I have any like celebrity inspirations.
That's okay. Doesn't have to be a celebrity at all. I think it's really, that's really, really lovely that your fiance is an inspiration. That's so nice. Sash, anyone you want to name drop?
Like Annie, I think a lot of my style inspiration tends to come from my friends or my family, or like who I'm hanging out with. When I came out to my brother as non-binary, he asked me something about clothes, and I was like, oh yeah, I think that my style is like you if you were a flamboyant gay man. Which I think is true. But also, like, when I've dated people, they've generally, like, a lot of finding like a queer style was like, I dated women and then I'd be like, oh wait, large khaki shirts, yes please. I think in terms of celebrities, If I could dress somewhere between Kate Blanchett in Ocean's 8, Rihanna in Ocean's 8, and Taika Waititi,
yes,
then I'd be very happy.
Mm.
That, yeah.
Oh my God, Rihanna in Ocean's 8.
Yes. Everyone in Ocean's 8 looked so amazing all the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What a... just the most fun... like... I feel like there are so many films out there where, like, they're good, but they're not fun.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But Ocean's 8 was so much fun. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not a great film, but it was fun, and it looked good. Well, everyone looked really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cate Blanchett's look in that was great. Mm-hmm. I have realized, now that I have to think about the question, that... David Bowie has been like a big influence on how I would like to dress.
What era? Or like
all of them?
Yeah.
I think because so much of his aesthetic for a while was like just being like really glam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of looking expensive. And I love the idea of looking surprising.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that on one side. On the other side, this is going to sound so weird, but I did have a while where I was like, I really like pirates. Like, mm-hmm. I want to have big billowy shirts and tight black pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I would like.
I had such a pirate phase. Style-wise, yeah.
Yeah, when I was watching Black Sails last year, I was like, yes, they all look great. They're all covered in dirt and blood and everything, but also they look great. Mm-hmm. But what I want to close on is, what advice would you give to other people who are trying to like develop their own style? Mine would be that eBay is your friend, because you could pick up so much stuff for just like 99p.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if anyone else has any advice.
Sure. I would say that the trick to fashion and style is making cheap-ish look expensive. You don't need to buy big brand. And I say this as somebody, I've promised myself that when one day I'm earning big money, capital B, capital M, for being an entertainer, I'm going to buy myself a pair of Louboutins and then everything will be set. But until then, cheap-ish. And that's within your means, because, you know, the world of fast fashion has many ethical considerations and stuff about that, sometimes that's the only way that you can buy clothes that look nice for your own budget range, and that is okay. Buying clothes within one's means. If you can thrift, absolutely. I can't thrift because nothing is in my size. As a result, I learned to sew, but again, not everybody is in a position to be able to do those bits and things. So yeah, you know, find cheap clothes that make you happy, and then that will become a style in itself, even if it doesn't make sense within those pieces.
I do want to add an addendum on that, which is if you can afford to, don't skimp on shoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least, learn where do the comfy ones. Like,
mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. anyone else?
I think that my advice would be, don't be scared to try things on at a store that might not normally be your fashion style, because there's definitely been times I've gone to a store and I'll pull something off the rack and be like, oh, this looks, you know, kind of ridiculous, but I kind of like the pattern, and then we'll try it on and be like, oh, this looks great. Like, I'm going to get this. And I think, like, without having that sense of adventure, you're going to kind of like limit your sense of style before you get started. So don't be afraid to try things on, especially, you know, in stores, because you don't have to buy it, but maybe you'll find something that is completely out of your comfort zone, but you think looks nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mine would similarly be try on a bunch of stuff. Just try on so much stuff. Put all the stuff that you try on with all the other bits that you try on, put everything together. But it really only works if you've got enough willpower to not then buy all the stuff.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Which has always been an issue for me. But try on a bunch of stuff. And I think also, I'm going to try and phrase this. The problem is this bit of advice sounds like really bad advice. It sounds like when people say like, oh, choose clothes that flatter your figure, and they always mean a really specific thing with that. And I really want to be upfront that I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is work out how you like things to fit your body. And if something doesn't fit like that, don't get it, because you're not going to wear it. Whether it's about how it looks or how it physically feels on you, like, figure out what fits you the way you like to be fit, and then get things like that.
I think that's actually a really good point, yeah. Because whenever anyone says, get things that flatter your figure, they mean make you look
good. They mean make you look small and in these particular proportions that we have designated correct.
Right.
And I don't mean that at all.
and I know you don't, but that also makes me laugh these days, because I'm like, nothing's gonna make me look thin. No one is going to turn around and be like, oh. So instead I try to go for like striking and like imposing sometimes, and that sometimes some days I want to look like intimidating and confusing to people.
Yes,
and I think that's very valid of me. Annie, what about you?
First, I also want to echo the figure out what the way you want clothes to fit your body is, and then angle for that, because it also, that was one of the things, it took me forever to figure out exactly how I wanted clothes to fit me, because I was kind of locked into the idea of like the societal norm of a flattering your figure or whatever. Once I broke out of that, found what I actually wanted my clothes to fit me like, now all of a sudden I have this guide to go off of, and that really helped me find stuff a lot faster. The other thing I was going to say is, my advice to anybody who wants to experiment with style is be weird. Find whatever you think other people will look at you and think you're weird, or find whatever you look at and go, oh, I want to try that on, but I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like, don't run from that impulse, run towards it. If you see something that you're thinking, I want to try that, but I don't know, it's weird, go straight for that and find more things like it. Do the thing that is weird, because then, and like, try it on. I don't necessarily mean you have to spend a bunch of money being bizarre with your fashion, but find the things that you feel weird or that you think other people will look weird on you, and try them on anyway.
Yes.
Try them out, give them a spin, and like, because that was sort of like the freer you can get yourself from like expectations or like learned like routines and habits of it, and the broader you can go from there, the more chance you have of actually finding a style that works for you.
Yeah. The amount of time that I wasted trying not to look tacky haunts me, honestly. Now I love to look tacky.
Yes. I've also just realized that I have another practical tip, which is, so one of the things that I do is I will comb through an online clothing site in whatever category I'm looking for, and I'll bookmark anything that remotely interests me. And then a few days later, I will go through and I will eliminate those bookmarks based on whether I still like them. And also basically on that Marie Kondo thing of like, does it spark joy in me? Like, can I imagine myself wearing this, and does it make me feel good? And
And that helps a lot.
A third category to add to those two, I think. And it's helped me when I was like, oh, I can buy statement items. And then you fall into the trap of only buying statement items, which is like,
I need a black t-shirt. Where?
But yeah, so the idea is like when it comes to something that's like, oh, this is weird. And maybe I'm a little intrigued. The little thought process is like, can I think of three outfits that I can incorporate this in with my existing wardrobe? If I can't think of three, then that really narrows down the number of opportunities I'm going to wear this item. And if that item is like a luxury one, why buy a luxury item? You will never find an outfit you can wear it with.
Sure.
So yeah, make that little mental like vision of kind of like, oh, this is super sexy. Oh, this is super stylish. What other items can I pair with that? Like I'm looking at the list of clothes in Animal Crossing and throwing them together.
God, I can't believe that's the first time that we've said the word sexy on this.
I was weighing it up of whether that would like trip word sensors that you're kind of aiming for or not. So I resisted.
Sexy is not a swear word. We can absolutely say that. And yes, looking sexy is also... is also very valid to feel is important to your own sense of style. And one's definition of sexy can be whatever you want it to be. Okay, we're now out of time. This might be my favorite episode so far this season. This has been so good. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this with me. I've had so much fun. Thank you, listener, also for listening. I'm going to see you in the next episode. But for now, it is goodbye from me. Goodbye. And it is goodbye from everyone else. Do you all want to say goodbye?
Bye. Farewell.
Bye.
Enthusiasm is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. It is directed by Helen Gould, produced by Lori Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner, and edited by Marissa Ewing, Tessa Broom, and Catherine Rinella. Thanks for listening.